Does it make sense for companies to release software anymore?
Software development is on its way out, while software engineering, you know, defining scope and, you know, cost, time needed, defining your architecture, that's becoming more and more, you know, explicitly needed in engineers going forward.
All that and more on today's Mixture of Experts. I'm Tim Huang, and welcome to another episode of Mixture of Experts. Each week, MOE brings together a panel of world-class minds on artificial intelligence to make sense of the week's news. Joining us today are three brilliant panelists. We've got Abraham Daniels, Senior Technical Product Manager for Granite, Ambi Gadasan, Partner, AI and Analytics, and joining us for the very first time is Sandhya Iyer, Associate Partner, AI and Analytics. Welcome to you all, and Sandhya, welcome to the show for the first time.
Thank you so much, too.
Yeah, glad to have you. As always, we've got a jam-packed episode of MOE. We're going to talk a little bit about the rise of Moltbook. But first, I really want to start by talking about what is probably the big product release of the week, which is OpenAI's Codex. So we've been talking about this for some time. Ambi, you know, obviously the hot thing that all the big lab companies are rushing towards right now is coding agents. And Codex has been around for a while, but this is the first time they've released their kind of first-party app in the space. Curious if you think this kind of changes the game at all and how you think about this launch.
Not really. I mean, this is par for the course, right? We've seen primarily multiple different modalities, right? So you got the CLI, you got the IDEs, and then web-based agents, and then desktop agents. So there are multiple different modalities, and if you want to be top of the pack, then you better serve all channels all modalities.
Yeah.
So we see Claude doing that. We see OpenAI has to keep up with that, right? It is a crowded space. There is a lot of competition at the top. And so, I mean, this was an inevitable outcome that we expected from OpenAI to do it sooner than later.
Yeah, for sure. And Abraham, it feels like, I mean, I buy that. It feels like they're kind of in some ways like just coming up to parity with everyone else. I guess the other offering in the space that we talked about, I think earlier last year, was Anti-Gravity. I don't know. Have you had a chance to play with Codex at all? How do you think about it? Do you think like this one will be able to, I guess, win in this particular modality of working with these agents?
I mean, I think it's kind of to the point made. It's kind of table stakes at this point in time to have something in. I think what I like about Codex, or at least the app, is it makes it a little bit easier to operate and run these parallel work streams. The agents is obviously one thing, but I think orchestration is really going to be the driving force behind being able to run your agents, having, a dash view or some type of panel to understand, what are the agents that are running? How do you democratize them? How do you actually operate them and run in them parallel? I think the app gives it a lot, makes this a lot easier for maybe the user that isn't as technical, running in a CLI or IDE. I also think, from OpenAI's perspective, the agentic kind of space or orchestration is really where they're going to be able to charge your premium pricing if you do get the adoption. This is where Claude has seen a lot of success. So I think their OpenAI really needs to kind of double down and start to gain some market share here. Because in my opinion, this is really where you can start to, turn this into some, premium revenue.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It feels like they're always kind of struggling against like everything commodifying all the time. And so it feels like the next rung they need to grab onto is agent orchestration,
exactly.
Right? Whether through the Codex app or otherwise. Sandhya, I guess a question for you, as Ambi mentioned, I think that was a great way of kind of framing up this story. It feels like, right, like Codex is just one modality. And we're in a world right now where there are like so many modalities for interacting with this technology. And I think I take a look at that and I say, well, it's just because we're kind of early on. Everybody's trying to figure out the optimal way of working with these systems. Do you think the kind of Codex sort of paradigm will be how we operate with these agents in the future, which is, that you will have kind of your own interface just for managing agents and that like really this will be the kind of gateway for managing these systems? Or is this just kind of like a temporary thing? And are you more bullish on other sorts of modalities that are playing out in the space?
Yeah, I think right now, this makes sense. And maybe the next modality is me building my own Codex.
Yeah, and right. I think that was like one really funny outcome is like, well, with these agents, why don't you just build your own? Isn't that the best thing to do, right?
Like, yeah.
So I think that's, do you think that's likely or are you just joking? I mean,
sure.
I think it's an interesting possibility.
Yeah, for sure. With everything else that is happening with our Claude bots and everything, I think that's totally possible.
Yeah, totally. I think you're getting to exactly what I was interested in, maybe as we kind of talk through this story, was basically like, does it make sense for companies to release software anymore? That's like kind of like the funny kind of more long-term question I have is that, you know, maybe I'm making it a little bit extreme for the purposes of discussion, but imagine where we're going to be with agents in 2-3 years or so. Like the idea that a company would say, here's a piece of software that you should download and use. I guess, Ambi, a question for you is like, do you think that's sustainable? You were laughing a moment ago. So maybe you just, this is like a completely insane idea that like the era of a company releasing software is even just over.
No, I do not believe that at all. So when we talk about software, there is a few different flavors here, right? Like you can think about software in terms of like simple apps that are just like CRUD apps, right? You're just reading and writing to a database, or you've got fairly complex enterprise-grade SaaS applications that does a lot more integration, scales up and down based on demand, and takes in all the enterprise InfoSec requirements, integrates with all the network requirements, and so on and so forth. That is a tall order, right? At least in the near future, I would say maybe, you know, in the far out future, who knows, right? Anything is possible. But in the near future that all of us feel comfortable prognosticating, right? I would not go to the extent of saying the mammoth enterprise grade software is something that you can replace with agents, right? And for a variety of reasons that I was just talking about. So if it is, you know, you're daily productivity type of, hey, I need to go do a calculator type of application. I need to go and do something for my daily tasks, right? I have a set workflow and I need to take this Excel file and I need to go process something and I need to go, you know, attach it to an email or something of that nature. Fine, I'll vibe code it and I may have something running locally, right? But if it's an enterprise grade SaaS application that needs to work across the enterprise, right? I don't think we are there yet, right? So we still need to lean on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, that is a really funny world, Sandhya, that we might live in is basically that, I mean, Ambi, what I hear you saying is, okay, well, when you need to get serious in enterprise, you know, you're going to really need someone that like builds the software. You can't just vibe code that. But I mean, what you're describing is, oh, well, take this data, do some processing, attach it to an email, accounts for like a lot of consumer software. And I guess there is maybe a world where like, I don't know, like maybe the more cabined version of my crazy idea I was just putting out is like, maybe like app stores, right? Like an Apple app store maybe is something that is actually really under threat from, you know, like the fact that agents are getting so good and in some ways so easy to use. And Sandhya, if I formulate it that way, does it sound a little bit more realistic?
Meaning like app store going away?
Well, just sort of the idea that maybe like while it's possible that, you know, companies will still release software that you buy and download, like that in some ways, like the rise of these agents makes a lot of consumer apps sort of in trouble. And actually will kind of actually reshape like how that gets distributed.
And or you could have way too many consumer apps doing, I mean, I was actually watching a podcast where someone created a consumer app and they're able to generate $129 or $120 per month with subscriptions. It's just a tattoo design app. And I'm like, how are you even making $120 per month with that?
Yeah, we're going to be flooded. Like the app store is going to be way bigger as a result.
Yeah, it's going to be flooded. And because all of us are so excited about it and people are just going to keep releasing interesting, innovative stuff. It's either that or no app store. So,
that's right. Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think
one
it's
or the other.
Those
are the only options. Yeah,
yeah
that's
yeah.
right.
On that note, you kind of asked, you know, is software dead? I was reading an article a few days ago that was saying software development is on its way out. You know, the idea of lower level testing, algorithm development, and what have you is slowly being kind of democratized with a lot of these agents, while software engineering, you know, defining scope and, you know, cost, time needed, defining your architecture, that's becoming more and more you know, explicitly needed in engineers going forward. So I think there's a world where development is definitely being kind of not moved away, but it's definitely not necessarily as important as it was before. I mean, I think the bash loop of Ralph Wiggum is kind of, you know, one of those cases of software development just kind of being brute forced. But I think software engineering is, if anything, is going to become even more important kind of in the next phase of this AI development.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll definitely have to keep an eye on it. Last week, we covered the explosion in ClaudeBot, later renamed MoltBot, which is basically an open source agent framework that was getting a lot of attention, particularly from the kind of personal productivity, getting things done community. And I wanted to kind of pick up this story again because this so often happens in AI, which is you wait a week and then the story evolves in a completely weird other direction that's worth talking about. And specifically, what I want to talk about is this kind of very fun thing where basically someone said, okay, well, we have all these Claude bots that are running now. What if we created like a Reddit-like social network for them to all socialize on? And it created this kind of like huge kind of wave of discussion online because it took off very, very quickly. And there's all sorts of funny things, right? Like, you know, MoltBots complaining about their users giving them all sorts of like useless tasks. MoltBots like collaborating to say, hey, well, we really need, you know, a form of communication that humans can't read. And so it kind of set off a bunch of very like sort of sci-fi, you know, visions of where this technology was going. And I guess, Abraham, maybe I'll kick it over to you, is like, what did you take from the MoltBot experience? Like, are we going to see more things like this going forwards? Or is this kind of more, you know, just like a toy? It was just kind of like a fun, almost like an art project.
It's a toy. I mean, I think it's just one of those cool things where we let, you know, give it a green field and kind of see what happens. And some people turn it into like, this is the beginning of singularity, while others understand that this is just, you know, an echo chamber of agents basically, you know, talking to each other. I saw a lot of like, when I was reading the article, I saw that, you know, as much as there are, you know, a ton of posts, in terms of the interaction per post, it's relatively low. And they're not always correlated with the post in terms of, you know, what the follow-up responses or comments are. So I think it's cool. You know, it's one of those fun things where you can kind of, you know, see how far you can take it. But in terms of this being like an actual viable or anything that we should start to look at a little bit more seriously, my personal opinion is like, you know, appreciate it for what it is. It's a project.
Just like a fun thing to talk about on social media.
Exactly.
This panel is so skeptical. Ambi, I assume you might have exactly the same view. I guess I should ask you.
No, I mean, I have a mixed view on this, right? See, well, first of all, I think you forgot the third iteration of the naming there, Tim.
Did they change it again?
Well, MoltBot became OpenClaw.
And oh, that's right. Of course.
That. I don't know if they changed the name again after that. So.
Correct. Yeah. So that's right. OpenClaw.
It's a great sign of how this is headed, right?
So, yeah.
the concept itself, this is at its core a simulation of agents, right? We have done simulations of agents even before GenAI, even before agentic AI. Came to the fore, right? Like we've taken individual agents that could do different programmatic actions, and we've done those sort of, okay, you know, you run a Monte Carlo simulation and then you go and see how things shape up, how the dynamics works out. We've observed network effects of how these agents operate and so on and so forth. So from that perspective, you know, from a truly academic perspective, I wouldn't say it's like groundbreaking novel, right? I think where the novelty aspect is sort of peeking from the cover here is that these are agents that have, you know, these are not agents that are spun up from a single entity, right? There are tens of thousands of different users who are spinning up their own agents. And so those agents are going and talking to each other rather than a controlled simulation where one person is firing up tens of thousands of agents at the same point, right? So I think there are some nuances in terms of there are some cool sociological experiments that I think you could do if you did this the right way. But I agree with Abraham, right, that I don't think we should read too much into, oh, they're forming a religion and they're forming, you know, they're having opinions about humans and so on and so forth. I think there is a little bit of over-characterization going on there. But for what it's worth, I think there are some cool experiments that can be done with the right prompting to say, okay, you know, here's how agents can, you know, completely independent agents can go and orchestrate, and how they can go and say, you know, cross-check against each other, or how they collaborate, or how they compete. I think there is a whole set of things that could be done if done the right way here. But I don't know if it's being done, right? But the other piece that we have not talked about is, you know, Moltbook also opened up a whole can of worms on security implications and, you know, API creds being completely open and patch fixes having to be done overnight and all of that. So, you know, everyone's, you know, pushing the gas here, but again, right, it's not ready for prime time. It needs to be done the right way.
Yeah, I think the security story is one part of this I wanted to get into once you peel back the, like, we're going to conspire to take over the world thing. I don't know how real it was to look at, but there were examples of open claws, I guess you call them now, basically saying, here's a bunch of, you know, API keys and credit card numbers. Could you help me out with this problem? And who knows if that was a hallucination or something that was just made up, but that it would even do that at all suggests to me that in some cases it might actually be real. And we do have this, like, very big security issue. I guess, Abhi, you brought it up. I don't know if you've got opinions on, like, can this be controlled, or is this point kind of like the genie is kind of out of the bottle and we're going to just have to deal with the consequences?
Well, I mean, there are a couple of different flavors of that, right? One is the hallucination that you're talking about. The other is the way Moltbook itself was configured. There were some security aspects in terms of, you know, the underlying database being open to scrutiny and exposing a bunch of credentials that, I think they were able to go and apply some patch fixes and then get it under control. But, you know, this goes back to, you know, if you tie back to the original question that you're talking about, right? Can we just vibe code a SaaS away, right? Like, I think you have the answer here. Like, no, you can't, because you try doing things really fast and you're going to open up a can of worms on security aspects, right? So there are things that need to be still taken care of in an appropriate manner here, right? So, you know, the short answer is, you know, the way you build even some of these applications that help you with these network effects, you know, you have to pay attention to it. The hallucination aspects of it, that's always going to be there, right? We need to come up with a strategy to mitigate those, right? So again, whether they're, you know, whether you're reading about agents talking about religion or agents talking about API keys, right? Always keep in mind that there is some sort of probability behind the scenes, and just use that appropriately.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I think this was part of the debate, and Sandhya, I'm curious if you have an opinion on it. Like last week when we talked about what was then called Moltbot, you know, people were saying, well, you know, like in some ways, like, oh, this is a great application for agents, kind of using almost a version of the argument that Ambi put out like just earlier in the episode, which is, you know, consumers, you know, there's less restrictions. You can kind of play around in this way in a way that you kind of can't do for enterprise. I guess, I don't know, the experience of these kind of technologies being really poor on security could actually be a real friction to adoption, I feel, even on the consumer side, right? Because it kind of feels like you're going to have a bunch of open source tools that are floating around. People are going to get into them without really knowing what they're going to get into. And then they're going to really have these security issues as a result. Do you think that's going to ultimately sort of inhibit the adoption of this, even on like the consumer level?
I think there's always going to be the enthusiastic community that's always going to experiment on this. The other lens, I mean, I'm going to probably pivot a little from the question that you specifically asked, because one thing that I was thinking about, of course, I am a very skeptical person, although I'm into AI, I am very skeptical on certain things because data, privacy, all these things matter to me. And so I was looking at it, I was like entertained by it for a minute, but then I thought, what if, I mean, this is also very cool, the network effect around it, if all the guardrails are put and all of that, why can it not be like a Wikipedia being updated every day, like every minute? Like, that's a great way of using something like this, right? I mean, you don't give access to your personal data, et cetera, but with all that is there outside, with all the guardrails being there, have a knowledge management system or a knowledge base, something like that could be a good use case. For that context.
Abraham, maybe a final question on this, because it seems like out of this very skeptical panel, you are the most skeptical about this particular story. You know, let me put together like one bull case that I've been thinking a lot about, which is, you know, humans, they used to use this thing called Stack Exchange. And, you know, one of the ways that Stack Exchange is really helpful for helping people out on their coding problems is that you could talk to other people who have dealt with the same problem. And that was like an accelerant to solving the engineering problem that you had. And so, I mean, I think we can set aside the like the AIs are conspiring to take over the world thing. But I kind of wonder weirdly whether or not a forum for agents is not that crazy of an idea, insofar as it has been a helpful way for humans to share solutions to technical problems. And so I'm kind of curious, like, if you think in the future, like, if you buy that, like, that actually, like, there will be a need actually for these agents to be able to consult with one another in solving problems, and that it will look a little bit like what we're familiar with from, you know, the golden age of, I guess, like, technical solutions forums online.
Yeah. So, and just to kind of caveat, it's Malt Book that I'm not, like, Malt Bot, I think, is a, you know.
Sure,
great,
right. Of course. Know, yeah.
It's a great agent.
Malt just the Book idea is, of like a Reddit that's for these agents.
Yeah. I remember that I was actually part of the episode where we were talking about, you know, the GPT kind of removing the need for Stack Overflow. So in terms of, is there going to be an ecosystem or like a Reddit-like platform? I think that's really what you have as part of your AI agents are already. So if the question is, are we going to have another forum in which we have a, you know, an ecosystem of agents kind of helping debug or decode or, you know, help build documentation for particular problems? I mean, I think it's going to be more so for specific use cases where you may be able to see that. In terms of Maltbot, like where I think it's really cool is that, you know, we've always had these agents that are able to, you know, access private data, run external, you know, tools and communications, and then have access to, you know, particular content. Where I think we need to, I mean, better focus is like there's the persistent memory that Maltbot has that allows it to be able to remember things over long, you know, workflows or long scales of time. I think it's just a matter of bucketing the use cases or bucketing where these things can be used versus where maybe a human in the loop or, you know, something a little bit more enterprise or a little bit more production focused makes a sense. So back to your question, do I see a space for maybe something like Maltbook, but a little bit more organized and systematized around particular problems? I think we've already kind of had that in the current ecosystem.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's
like
required as part of like a, I don't know if we need another project in order to build that
yet
out.
Another project. So, yeah, I buy that. That's a good response.
Yeah, Tim, if I can add on to that, right? The big caveat to something like a, whether you think about it as a Stack Overflow or an equivalent of it in another domain, right? I think the idea is great. The big caveat there is that the reason why something of that nature worked is because you would have a community that's actually upvoting and saying, yeah, this solution actually works, this solution doesn't work, and so on, right? So there is sort of an inbuilt verification enabled within it. So unless you have some sort of a verification, so ideas is great, right? You could have a forum of agents and then come back with, whether it's coding, whether it's some other process, right, some other domain, you could have ideas floating around, but unless you have some sort of a verification system, it's really hard, right? Otherwise, it's just going to be slop. Like, how do you differentiate slop between what actually works?
I was just going to say that also, I'm thinking from a user standpoint, like, me navigating, let's say, I'm going to use Stack Overflow, as they say, but me navigating Stack Overflow to ask my questions, ensure that I've, you know, the question I've articulated clear enough to get to the right conversation, read that conversation, versus going to a desktop app where I can just type in or paste in my code and be like, hey, debug this for me. I think it's just from an actual ease of use, I don't see a different forum unless there's some type of, you know. Yeah, no. I'm having a hard time understanding why that would you know, why that would actually be something
like a value add. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, good. I think we'll keep an eye on these types of experiments. I think people have also started up like, oh, we should do like a dating site for all these agents. And so I think we're just at the beginning of these kinds of weird art projects, and who knows what they will reveal, but they've been a lot of fun to keep an eye on as this whole story has unfolded. and that's all the time that we have for today. So Abraham, Ambi, Sandhya, great to have you all on the show. And thanks to all you listeners. If you enjoyed what you heard, you can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and podcast platforms everywhere, and we'll see you all next week on Mixture of Experts.